Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. It's all one word, stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. Also, you can listen to our shows anytime, anywhere. On your tablet and smartphone, subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. And then after we finish airing the shows live on WKOK, we can drop them right to your smartphone and tablet. So you can listen to them anytime you want. And that'll be great for Penn State football fans, especially as we creep closer to the Penn State football season. Practice starts in 2 hours and 10 minutes. 5:20, the official first practice for the Nittany Lions. Media day tomorrow in Beaver Stadium and in the media room with Coach James Franklin, Trace McSorley, and select players. And we will have some audio excerpts of tomorrow's media day on next week's shows. So keep that in mind. Now, speaking of today's show, before we jump ahead to next week, Urban Meyer still in the big story news, college football. He remains on the hot seat. And we've got Ben Kirschival, college football writer from CBS Sports. He'll be joining us at 3:35. And also, believe it or not, we're going to talk swimming. 4:06, NBC Sports swimming analyst Rowdy Gaines. He is the guy that sits alongside Dan Hicks. Yes, he's the guy who had all those great swimming calls when Michael Phelps was winning gold after gold after gold after gold. Rowdy knows his swimming, a former member of the United States Olympic team. Penn State swimmers doing very, very well, including one that's in the same swimming class and category as Katie Ledecky, who I think at one point is going to be the greatest swimmer of all time. So we'll talk to Rowdy Gaines about the future of swimming and Penn Staters involved, too, at 4:06. And then, of course, the tradition unlike any other around here when Steve's brother Kevin Jones calls in from Connecticut at 4:35 to wrap up the week. Now, I mentioned next week we will have some highlights from Penn State Media Day tomorrow. We'll have that for you next week. Also early next week, Matt Leon will join us. We'll start to get Matt Leon into the mix with weekly hits from Philadelphia in regards to the Phillies and the Philadelphia Eagles. Which, by the way, Eagle 107, once again this year, your home for Eagles football. Very pleased to tell you about that. Yeah, how about the NFL? First game last night out in Canton, the Hall of Fame game. Ravens winning by one over the Bears, 17-16. So you got the Eagles and Steelers. That'll be the first preseason game next week on Thursday night. Eagles on Eagle 107 with, of course, the one and only Merrill Reese and former Eagles great Mike Quick. Eagles airtime will be at 6, kickoff at 7. And once again this year, the Steelers will be on 100.9 The Valley with Bill Hillgrove, Tunch Ilkin, and Craig Wolfley. And you get 2 hours of pregame coverage for the Steelers. So airtime will be at 5 on Thursday on 100.9 The Valley from The Link. So if you're a Steelers fan, you get 7.5 hours of game day coverage. Preseason, regular season, fingers crossed, postseason as well. So we will have some Penn State highlights for Media Day next week. And speaking of college football, we always look forward to Phil Steele's visit. He usually drops in on the show once or twice a year. And it truly is the college football Bible when Phil Steele puts out his college football preview every year. Comes out toward the end of June, right before the 4th of July. So we will get Phil Steele's take on the 2018 season when he joins us next week. We have him at this point scheduled to join us on Tuesday. And we'll probably have Neil Coulong on as well next week, get the latest from Steelers training camp and so much more. So lots in the pipeline here in the days and weeks ahead as we lead up to college football, NFL regular season. And yes, high school football starts 3 weeks from tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with the Shikellamy Braves, with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort returning for another season together. Seawolves Grove will be back on Eagle 107 with Pat O'Brien, Ryan Brandt, and Zach Showers. Seawolves Grove's first game on the road at Lewisburg at Christie at Bucknell. And you'll be able to hear Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley with Greg Wetzel and Justin Michaels. Our Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Specials now through Tuesday. Coors Light 24-pack 16-ounce cans, $17.97. Moosehead 12-pack cans, $9.95. And White Claw Seltzer 12-pack cans are $14.95. So grab your brews, water, sodas, imports, microbrews, all the snacks, chips, pretzels, fresh roasted peanuts, and yes, we've been telling you about that pickle bar for years here on the show. Pickle bar second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Open tonight till 9, tomorrow 9 till 9. So drop by, grab your dolly, load it up with lots of cases of your faves. Easy convenience in and back out to your vehicle. And help when you need it too from Brewers Outlet. Wow, big finish last night for the Phillies. Michael Franco, 3-run walk-off homer. That was Michael Franco's 18th of the season, capped a 4-run rally for the Phillies in the ninth inning. That was the first time this season that the Phillies were losing in the eighth inning, come back to win a game. So they were something like 0-38. If they were losing after eight innings, they were 0-for. Didn't win a game until last night. So great comeback by the Phillies. Michael Franco with that 3-run homer to cap off that 4-run rally. Phillies are 35-18 at Citizens Bank Park this season. They have hit 60 wins on the year. Last year, when did they hit 60 wins? It was not until September the 19th. And they are wearing those great powder blues. That was really cool that they decided on a select batch of Throwback Thursdays they would put on those powder blues. Love those powder blues. Wish they would bring them back. See, that'd be time. Because they would wear them to, a couple years in the 80s, they wore them for away games. But it's just great seeing them wear the those powder blues at home.
Ah.
So, yeah. But Vince Velasquez will be on the mound tonight for the Phillies. They go for win number 61, and we'll have live coverage starting at 6:30.
How about that last night, huh?
Boy, I'm trying to remember what paper it was. I think it was, I want to say it was the Philadelphia Daily News. They had a page already laid out and ready to go. They were going to put in a big photo of Brian Dawkins, since this is his weekend of induction to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton. Mm-hmm. So, of course, it's a fluid situation. Sometimes plans change. So they took out Dawkins' photo. They put in Michael Franco. They got a really cool photo of his bat flip as he was starting to trot down first base.
Mm-hmm.
And the caption underneath was Michael Jack. but they spelled it Michael as in Michael's first name, not Michael Jack Schmidt. Which was really cool. I thought that was cool.
I thought you were going to tell me that Dewey beat Truman.
No.
Wrong headline.
Yeah. And off by a few years too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we got that one wrong. All right, there are three primary topics. Well, we'll go four because I got to mention the Phillies. So the Phillies would be one. The others are Urban Meyer, sports betting. Mississippi is now in, but I've got a college angle on that. And of course, Penn State football opening practice today. In fact, they are on the practice field approximately 2 hours from now. So those are some of the primary topics. I know we're going to talk with Ben Kirschvoll of CBS Sports here today, right? And we got Rowdy Gaines on. So Ben's going to be in the next half hour, correct? Does that sound like the right order here?
Yes, Ben 3:35 and Rowdy at 4:06.
Rowdy 4:06.
Yes.
All right.
And then, of course, the king of them, of course.
Yeah. Well,
you know.
Certain givens in life. All right, so let's get to the order here. I'm actually going to start with, I'll start with Urban Meyer first, which I think people assumed I would, but I kind of thought about it for a second, but this won't take too long when it comes to Urban. We'll get more into it with Ben Kirschvoll next half hour. I think you've noticed that I've tried to be as factual as possible about this. And I feel like we have taken a measured response to what's going on. Now, why is that? The reason Sean and I have taken a measured response to all of this is that we don't have all the facts available to us. I mean, we're, you know, let's face it, all of us, you the listener, us as co-hosts, we're on the outside looking in and only know what we've read. But I will say this about what Brett McMurphy wrote. It's been 48 hours since he posted that story, correct? And in those 48 hours, how many individuals have come out and debunked the story? How about none? How about zero? I mean, Sean, have you read any story that has debunked anything Brett McMurphy wrote?
Absolutely not.
And normally in 48 hours, you have some, correct? On almost every story. His story, because it's so well-researched and it contains first person from the victim, text messages, is so detailed that nobody has debunked the story. I think from the outside looking in, if I were to make an educated guess about Urban Meyer, is from the university's point of view, are they looking at this as a title, as a potential Title IX violation? Now, this is a guess on my part. Here at Penn State, in the last 16 months, I have had to take 5 tests at Penn State. I've had to take a Clery Act test, a mandatory reporter test, a Title IX test, a compliance test, and a sexual harassment test. Now, I've had to take those 5 in the last 16 months. And that's why I come to the conclusion that if I were to guess, and again, it's only a guess, but if I were to guess that Title IX is what they're looking at, it's also more extensive, in my opinion, than just Urban Meyer that would have to be talked to. Because if you go by what Courtney Smith told Brett McMurphy, she told Brett, quote, all the coaches' wives knew. Well, if all the coaches' wives knew, does that mean, I think that means you have to interview the other coaches. because it is not just the head coach that can go to HR or go to the athletic director with this. Anybody can go to HR or the athletic director with this. Anybody can. That's why I take 5 tests. It tells me in the Cleary Act what form I'm supposed to fill out and who I'm supposed to go to. It tells me as a mandated reporter what I'm supposed to do. It tells me under Title IX, how do I report up the chain, what a violation is. It's all in the test. It tells me in compliance, you know, what I'm looking for and who I'm supposed to report it to. Sexual harassment test, same thing. I take 5 tests in 16 months. So it's outlined in there as to how you're supposed to do it. That's why when she says, quote, all the coaches' wives knew it, that means to me Ohio State not only has to talk to Urban and Shelley Meyer, they have to talk to all the coaches that were on the staff in 2015. So it takes more than that. So a measured response on my part, because this isn't a game. I know that politics is now covered like sports. We won, we lost. We won, we lost. All right? Okay? The courts are covered like a game. Prosecution won. Okay? Defense won. We won, we lost. We won. They're covered like games now. Okay? Okay? The judicial system is supposed to mete out truth. It's not supposed to be a game of winning and losing. Politics is not supposed to be about winning and losing. It's about whether things are done for, you know, to make life better for us. Sports is where winning and losing takes place. So let's get to the truth of this, and then let's allow them to mete out whatever justice, if there is any to be meted out. That's why the measured response on my part. Right, the gambling part. I want to talk about Mississippi and sports betting in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. All right, Mississippi has now become the fourth state, Nevada, Delaware, New Jersey, to go with sportsbook. And not only that, but they're also going to put, and it was a big story down in Mississippi yesterday, that Ole Miss and Mississippi State games are going to be on the board. Well, you know, I was thinking about this. You know, we talked about injury reports a couple weeks ago, Sean. Because it came up at Big Ten Media Day.
Right.
Let's think about that this morning. What's the obligation to do it? There's no obligation to do it. Well, I mean, it's a nice courtesy, but there's no obligation to do it. I mean, what is your obligation? You know, and if we do this, it'll help the casinos. There's no... In fact, I think that if pro sports leagues and the colleges would like a 1% integrity fee from states, they should hold all that stuff back. All right, for a 1% integrity fee, we'll give you injury reports and analytics to help you set lines. That's how you get your 1% integrity fee. That's your leverage. Colleges, what's the obligation of Penn State put out an injury report? None.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC Way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
World End Day? Is that what Mark's talking about? World End? Wasn't that supposed to happen with Y2K, where everything was just going to shut down?
Oh, you want to talk about something overrated. That was it.
The Mayan calendar? In 2012, now Penn State's in the Mayan division of the Cancun tournament. 5 years later in Mexico, 6 years later in Mexico. I don't think the end of the world is happening anytime soon. If it does, then the show's over. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Sean, best selection of beer. I don't care if you want imports, domestics, microbrews. They have the best selection. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Ever hear of the pickle bar, Sean? Have you ever heard of the
pickle
bar?
Wait a minute. Have we? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is second to none. Yes. I don't want to tell you. Between the barrels and the dills, unbelievably good. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They're the best.
By the way, Coors Light, 24-pack, 16-ounce cans, $17.97. Yeah. Moosehead, 12-pack cans, $9.95. White Claw Seltzer, 12-pack cans, $14.95. The special's good through Tuesday.
Oh, by the way, it's one thing about seeing Corey. Every time I see Corey, he always brings over a selection of pickles all the time. Wait, you don't think I'm not counting down to the 22nd?
Oh, you are.
Hey, God, Corey, my man. All right. The Urban Meyer story. You have a lot of people camped out right now in Columbus. Now, it's not a frenzy or a groundswell. It's something like we saw here, but they're camped out there. Now, here is... Here is something that is interesting. Ohio State, at least on this particular day, they were supposed to do a media day today or tomorrow or something, and they stopped it. None of it. Look, you don't want your players going out and talking to the media because they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, they're just like trying to answer questions, and they'll say something out of turn because they don't have the knowledge. It's, you know, to talk about this. So I don't blame them for cutting them off. None of them have been thinking about this until this came up. Coaching staff. Well, the reason they cut the coaches off is quite simple. How many of them are being talked to in an investigation, which means they can't speak. So they've cut all that off. So you have people now sitting outside of the practice facility watching the players walk in and out and trying to judge body language. Really? Really? Wow. Well, Ben Kercheval, one of the best, joins us. Ben, McMurphy's story, nothing refuted in 48 hours. Let's get your take on that.
Thanks, Steve. I got to say that before we get started, it ain't all credit to the dude, Brett McMurphy.
Yes.
He's the guy who stayed on top of this story. He's the reason why we're here talking about it today, and somehow, almost tragically, remains unemployed for reasons that I'm not really sure why. So Brett absolutely crushed this one in terms of breaking it wide open. So he's the dude.
Yeah, he is the dude in all this, and I'll make one quick comment about that, then we'll get into what's happening, and that's this. you and I both know that guys like yourself, Dennis Dodd, I mean, those are guys that I refer to as being in the business for a long time that have, quote, chops. And to me, I don't never have understood why people who have chops, good reporting chops, are the ones that end up getting cut in this era. I don't get that part, but that's just my commentary.
I'm hashtag blessed to be doing what I'm doing. And sometimes I roll with that. The content machine doesn't always make a lot of sense. So all I could do is just work hard and try to be good to my boss and my employers, and they're really good to me. So I usually roll with that, and a lot of other life's great questions, you just have to leave it up to the unknown, you know.
Right. Now, based on what Brett's done and then what you've been able to follow, because I thought you did a nice job of timeline, Ben, on your story. Give us the timeline as to how it lays out and why it doesn't play to Urban Meyer's favor based on recent timeline as to what's been said and what's been done.
Yeah, so there's a hole now as we start to unseal these court documents with Zach Smith and Courtney Smith, who are obviously now separated. Zach Smith, former wide receivers coach at wide receiver. The big one here is what allegedly happened. I think it was on October 21st, or it was in late October of 2015. According to Courtney Smith, there was an incident between them and a long series of domestic violence issues. And at one point, he placed his hands on her in a strangling type of way. That is her allegation. And where Urban Meyer comes into all of this is that Brett McMurphy started doing the reporting on this leading up to Big Ten media days. Then Zach Smith is fired right before everybody convenes in Chicago. Urban Meyer comes sort of right out and says, well, I knew about another incident in 2009 at which, Shelley, his wife, and I started to, kind of play counselors a little bit in this whole thing, and we were very vested in what was happening with them. And then he turns right around and he says, but I didn't know about this 2015 incident until just the other day when we had to let him go. And then he kind of doubled down on it, Steve, by basically calling it fake news. Well, Brett McMurphy pulled receipts, man. He's got them. And really the operative exchange is between Courtney Smith and one of the wives of one of the assistant coaches at Ohio State, at which a couple of weeks after this 2015 incident happened, there is mention that Urban Meyer talked to Zach Smith. Well, that's the part that directly contradicts what Urban Meyer said. And, there's a whole gray area that, we can get into over the course of the segment. There's a whole gray area about who knew what and when, or what's the validity of the allegation. Zach Smith maintains his innocence. There's that. But the black and white issue that's sitting right in front of us is, did Urban Meyer know or did he not know about what happened 2.5 years ago? And if he did know, then he just told a bald-faced lie, which I'm not saying the lie is worse than the crime. Clearly, Zach Smith's crime is worse. But the lie is that's where to get you every time.
Ben, agree with that. Now, the next part is this. Let's get to the wives part of it, because my thought, and I guess I'm kind of trying to put two and two and have it equal four, as to why Ryan Day is the interim, I think to me makes a statement about why Ryan Day is the interim. He's a coordinator, but he's also only been there a year, which means his wife would potentially have the least amount of contact with Courtney Smith. And I think the two and two can possibly equal four as to why he's the one elevated to interim, and Ohio State's actually making a statement by doing it.
That's one angle of all of this. And again, like any major story, there's layers, right? There's a whole thing to this. That's one layer that really hasn't been explored a whole lot. And you mentioned the contact that Ryan's family might have had with Courtney Smith. What people need to remember about coaching staffs and their wives, that's a whole family in and of itself, right? I mean, they talk constantly. So when people say, well, it's possible that Shelley Meyer didn't tell Urban, well, okay, in the technical sense, you might be right. But one, everyone talks. Everyone knows what's going on with each other's lives, because they're very, very close. The wives are close. The husbands are traveling each and every week, so they all get together. They know. And two, Shelley Meyer is publicly a confidant of Urban Meyer, right? It's not just, yes, like she's any old wife. She's like the, what we call the HBIC, right? I mean, she's right, the woman. So I think that's an interesting point that you bring up about Ryan's wife, is that you're talking about someone not necessarily removed from the circle. She would, you know, they would be in the, that family would be in the circle, but they are the ones who are maybe the least connected. And you can put two and two together and surmise your own, you know, conclusions on that. The other part of it is, you also, if you're Gene Smith, you want to sort of get everything compartmentalized. You want to, yes, move your program in a direction forward that has the least amount to do with what's going on right now.
You mentioned there are certain areas that are known, and then there's the gray area. Discuss, Ben, your thoughts on the gray area and what you're looking to see and how it plays out in that gray area.
So right now what we have are allegations. The 2015 incident is still, that case is open. That case has not been closed. Zach Smith has not formally been charged with anything. Now, that doesn't mean he's guilty or innocent. Just means there are no charges. So when people say, well, how come he wasn't charged, or how come she didn't press charges? Well, according to her, in 2009, Earl Bruce, who's Zach Smith's grandfather, tried to suppress her from doing so. Those, and I'm not saying that happened or didn't happen. I'm saying, right, those things, that would not be the first time that that's ever happened in a domestic violence case. So the sort of captivity that a victim feels a lot of times is where things get very tangled. Yes. Why they did something, why they didn't do something, why it took her 6 years to come forward. All of those are very personal details, and it takes a really long time to sift through them. And even at the end of it, the only people who probably know the truth are Zach and Courtney Smith. So that part we may never know, but then as it starts to branch out, you know, what did Shelley Meyer know? What did Urban know? And that's what she claims everyone in the Ohio State Athletics Office knew, and no one reached out and talked to her. So those are the details that, as you uncover court documents, as you start as a school, as you start investigating all of this, those are the answers that you want to try to start gathering. And the facts as we know them today are limited, but I think over the course of, I don't know if it'll be a month, 2 months, whatever, but I would imagine over the course of the next few months, that's when we'll start to get the answers to all of those things, sort of a slow drip at first.
And the part of the slow drip is the original box being checked on the 2015 police report of, quote, box checked, arrested. Then the subsequent one saying no, and they're using mumbo jumbo as to why it was or was not checked. But that's part of the story. The original box was checked.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, those are details, and the balance that is tough to strike is innocence until proven guilty. That is the law part of this, which is separate of whether Urban Meyer did,
yes,
or did not do the right thing. That just the
exactly
law
right
part of this is, and Zach Smith has already paid the price, right? I mean, he's fired. Professionally, he's paid a price for what he's done. If he's found guilty, there will be another price that he has to pay in the court of law. So that part of it is separate. Right now, what we're dealing with Urban Meyer is, ethically, did he do or not do the right thing? And then the conversation is, well, should he be fired for that? It's certainly, I don't think anyone would say what Meyer did or didn't do is as egregious as Zach Smith. The blame solely is
right
on his shoulders. But as a person in charge, you are, and someone who is one of the highest paid people in college football and presents himself as someone who, you know, tries to give people second chances, has this sort of moral aura about him, you are held to a higher standard for what people that you hire do. And I think that's the, you know, that's the interesting ethical dilemma that Ohio State is facing right now.
And part of that interesting ethical dilemma happens to be that out of 2009, that, quote, Urban and Shelley both personally got involved Right. Well, if they're personally trying to get involved in 2009, and again, Earl Bruce was one of Urban's mentors. Right. If they're trying to get personally involved, what makes you think they wouldn't try to get personally involved other times too?
Well, that was so. When I listened to Urban Meyer's press conference at Media Days, that was actually the part that my eyes almost rolled back in my head, where he's going into detail about how they, you know, again, tried to sort of play counselors to this whole thing in 2009 and really get to the bottom of it and go a little off the books. You know, they're sort of taking matters into their own hands. And you ask him about something 6 years later, he goes, "Oh, I don't know anything about that." I'm like, "What? Are you
exactly.
You might have plausible deniability, but you don't have believability in that." So that's where, again, someone's lying. I'm not going to 100% tell you today that it's Urban Meyer, but there is a lot of things that you can ask me to believe that I don't know on a personal level, you and me talking, that I do believe.
And then there's this quote that you put in there, that Courtney Smith talking to Brett McMurphy. This was part of your story. The quote that Brett was able to get from her said, quote, "Zach once told me if he ever got fired and this all comes out, I'll take everyone at Ohio State down with me."
Pretty sobering. And I think that was Brett's kicker too, which it kind of put a stamp on the whole thing. And look, Zach Smith at best is a shady guy, right? At worst, he's a monster. And those are the types of things that people who are unhinged can say. Maybe there's truth to it, but again, these are intimidation factors. And anytime you hear a story about domestic violence, whether it's at Ohio State with Courtney Smith, or you hear something about widespread sexual assault at Baylor or Michigan State, how many times do we hear these allegations of intimidation tactics where people wonder why it takes victims so long to come forward, because they're dealing with that for years on end?
Exactly. And again, let's always remember, Courtney Smith's the one that had to deal with her living hell for years. Based on what's come out, and
based on what she's saying, on what she's saying, that's what we have, and I'm sure over time we'll know more.
Yeah, over time. If there's a quick resolution to what the Ohio State investigation, one gets the impression that's not good for Urban Meyer in terms of his career.
I don't know. I don't even know if he's going to get fired yet. I think if you had asked me before being placed on administrative leave, I don't think I would have been able to give you an answer. I think you and I have seen enough of these that paid administrative leave is usually one step of many, in a line of things that come to an inevitable end. Urban Meyer wins, and the other part of that is he got a little bit of a track record. He got a rap, of the kind of people that he recruits and have on his coaching staff. And there is, a great ethical dilemma with athletic directors about, should we hire him, should we not? But he's won multiple national championships. Only Nick Saban has more among active coaches. If this is the end for him at Ohio State, he's still, 54, 55? I think he's still in the prime of his coaching career. He might still, take a year, do whatever it is that he's going to do. I don't know. Unless something really gets unearthed out of all of this that's really damning, and we might get it, I don't know that it would be the end for him, period.
Right.
But I don't think – someone asked me the other day, do you think he gets fired? And I just say – I'll just say this. If you get caught in a bald-faced lie, if that's what Ohio State determines, there's usually about one way this ends. It's usually the lie that gets you.
Ben, one last question, and I appreciate the time very much. And that deals with this. Is part of what Ohio State's doing here not only trying to see who's telling the truth, how it was handled, how it was lied, but a potential Title IX violation?
Yeah. So the important part here is the new contract that Urban Meyer had agreed to back in March and April. And within that, there are provisions. And this is something that more and more schools are doing with their coaching contracts in light of, the Me Too movement and sexual and gender abuse and things like that. is they'll have provisions in the contract that say you have to, if you hear about something, you have to promptly report it to the proper people. If you don't do it, you can potentially be terminated with cause, and so you don't get any of the damages associated with your termination. What matters with Urban here is the contract fully executed? I think last time anyone checked on it, they were still waiting a signature from the Ohio State CFO, so there's that part of it. There's also the language of the provision, and then this is, again, where you start getting into the gray area. What did he know? When did he know? Where did the allegations and the incidents take place? That can play a role in it, too. So there's a whole bunch of legalese that everyone has to dive into before that can officially be determined. But as of now, it's on the table. I wouldn't take it off just yet.
Ben, thanks so much. I mean, you and I, of course, would rather talk about the opening of camps and talk about college football playoffs and things like that, but this is something absolutely that must be discussed. Thanks so much. Appreciate the time and the insight very much.
All right. Thank you, man. Take care. Talk soon.
Ben Kershaval of CBS Sports. Rodney Gaines next half hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.